This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
All right, let's go and open our Bibles up to Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews in chapter 13 and in verse 4. The Bible says in verse 4, it says, "Marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the blessed opportunity and time that You've given us here. Lord, I do pray that You would use this sermon, Father, to the fullest extent of Your will. I pray, dear God, that it would help young couples, old couples alike. I pray, Father, that it would bless newlyweds, Lord God. I pray that it would help those who have been married for years to look deep inside the Word of God throughout this Family Matters series. Be a blessing unto them and their life, that they may be a great and wonderful testimony for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my wish and my prayer today, and I do feel that it falls in line with the will of God. Let us look today at the honor of marriage, and that which it was ordained in the Garden of Eden in the manner in which it was, by the Word of God and the precious precious Word that He's given us today, in order to have a better marriage, Lord God, that brings honor and glory to the name of Christ. And it's in His name we ask all of these things. Amen. There are, by all extents, some benefits to marriage. And so what I'm going to ask you real quick, just in your heart and your mind, is I want you to name some benefits of marriage. Number one, you have counsel with one another. You have conversations with one another. Some other benefits of marriage is you have someone that's cooking for you, maybe. You have somebody that's cleaning for you. You have somebody who's doing a little honey-do list around there. There's all kinds of benefits to marriage. You're not alone. You know, you're not by yourself. You have someone that you can converse with. So there's several benefits to marriage that we can look at and we can understand in a great and wonderful way. Now, some benefits to marriage are not always bilateral benefits to marriage. They're not a benefit that are benefiting both people or both parties. But the key is this, is we got to look at marriages today as the Word of God states that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. There was a Houston newlywed couple, newlyweds, who used a Bible quotation to be excused from jury duty. They read from Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5, when it says, "When a man hath taken a wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he hath taken." And they used that verse to get out of jury duty, and the judge sent them home. But it's been said that the key to marriage is to keep the honeymoon alive. One man once said, "The honeymoon is that period between I do and you better." Amen. And so marriage in itself, it is work. It is teamwork. It can be a struggle, but it is something today that the Bible has given us biblical precedents to look into, that the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. We got to remember, as we've said throughout this series, marriage was the first institution that was ordained. So you have the institution of the home, of the family, ordained before the government and even before the church. And we know how much God, how much He cherishes the church. So we have to go back and understand that He also cherishes greatly the home as well. So marriage is honorable, the Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 4. And members need to understand, members of the marriage and family, they need to understand that the marriage unit must be protected at all costs. There's not another blueprint. There is not another entity on this earth that is more sacred than that of the marriage structure. It is a truth. It's a biblical truth. And I believe that we can find that truth inside the Word of God. Because the relationship between the church and the Savior is built upon the very same blueprint of marriage, we can understand how important marriage itself is to God. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. And we've looked at this verse, these passages of Scripture throughout the series. But Ephesians in chapter 5 is the area that we'll find the blueprint that the Lord has given us through the mighty words of the Apostle Paul, given by inspiration of God. We find this wonderful blueprint that the Lord has given us. Ephesians in chapter 5 and in verse 25, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Now, we discussed that in the position of the husband. we find that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself for the church. He not only gave Himself to the church, the bride, but He gave Himself for the church, the bride. Therefore, the position of the husband inside the home is the position of sacrifice by all accounts. Verse 26 says, they might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. They might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The Lord, beloved, the Lord could have used any other pattern or relationship for the church. He could have used anything. He could have used the governmental relationship to pattern the church. He could have used any type of pattern that we find. He could have even used a king as having dominion over slaves as a pattern for the church. He could have used how mankind has dominion over the fowls and over the animals and over the sea and over this and that, or the sea life. He could have used that as an illustration or a pattern or a blueprint for the church, but he did not. He did not use those patterns. He could have used, again, the law, could have used slavery, servitude, etc. He chose to make the church his bride and he the bridegroom. That is why it is so vitally important for each member of the marriage unit to honor their position and uphold their responsibilities, because it is for the sake of the marriage. When the husband honors his position of sacrifice in the home, it is for the sake of the marriage. When the wife honors her position of submission in the home, it is for the sake of the marriage. Wives, as we've read in Ephesians chapter 5, wives are the position of submission. That is their position of submission. It is not "I'll do it, but you're going to pay for it" mentality. It is "I'm going to do it as I may bring honor to the Lord Jesus Christ." Ladies have to understand that. I've said this for years, so say I now again, that the position of submission does not equate lesser than. It actually is a position of honor, if you look at it. For a lady, for a wife to submit to her husband's rule as unto the Lord is giving glory not only to the position that God has ordained as a sacrificial position, the husband, but she's giving glory and honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ who died for her. So she's submitting to the husband as unto the Lord, not as unto the person, but as unto the Lord to be glory to him. And I've said it time and time again that if the lady will submit unto her husband, and he's wrong, I'm not saying submit in a sinful manner. A woman should not submit to her husband unto sin or commit a crime. But if she submits unto him in a manner that brings honor and glory unto the Lord, basically what she's doing is getting out of the way for the Lord to deal directly with the husband. And he'll do that. Husbands, we see them, their position, it should be honored and upheld as a position of sacrifice. And men, that should not be, "I'll do it, but you're going to hear about it later on." It is a sacrificial position. That's why I've so often, many a time, said that men should sacrifice their homes unto their wives, to give that home to their wives as a place of rest, as a place of solitude and solace, a place of comfort. It is their domain, and it should thus be associated in the same manner. If you'll look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we see this pattern here between God and man and God and the church. Here we see this pattern here seen in marriage in the same way, this same institution of how the Lord has blessed marriage, as he did say that marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, Paul says here, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." The marriage institution, beloved, needs to be protected. It needs to be guarded. It needs to be clean. And the marriage bed, the bed of marriage in itself, must not be defiled. It is a sacred obligation. It is an obligation that is honored by God and should be honored by God's people. Marriage is to be honored from childhood up, keeping oneself pure, keeping oneself clean, and prepared for that day when the Lord will provide the man and the woman a mate of His choosing. Many problems will be headed off by the simple aspect of purity. If a young person will maintain the purity in their life today, you'll find out that many problems within the marriage unit in itself will be simplified. They will be headed off, as I've said, just because of good old-fashioned biblical purity. The ratio of new marriages today versus divorces are 2-to-1. So 50% of those who are getting married today end in divorce. Total marriages showed a sharp drop in 1998, and after a brief rebound, they continued to trend down. Now, the number of the population of unmarried women, this is where you see the number of marriages decreasing in America today from 98 to our present year, 2010. The population of unmarried women will soon surpass the number of married women. So you're going to have more unmarried women in society today than you have of married women in society. The number of unmarried coupled households, which basically in good old-fashioned terms mean somebody shacking up together, they are defiling the marriage bed against God's ruling, but the number of unmarried coupled households today, those are shacking up, I say they are playing the harlot, was nearly 7 million couples in America in 2009. So there was 7 million souls playing the harlot, or 7 million households playing the harlot in 2009. A justice of the peace in a small New England town was called upon to perform his first marriage ceremony. After he had the knot securely tied, the young couple continued to stand before him as expecting some further rite, whereupon the justice stammered out in a brave attempt to round off the ceremony with something of a religious turn. He said, there, it's all over. Go and sin no more. In other words, they came before the justice of peace. They had been shacking up together. Now they tied the knot. He said, go and sin no more. Children living with only one parent has increased from 9% in 1960 to 27% in 2009. Of those 27% living with one parent in the home, 87% of the children live with their mother. We find today that there are over 1 million parents divorced. Over 1 million parents divorce each year. Beloved, we need to understand early on in our young life that marriage is honorable. It's honorable with God. The bed must be defiled, or must be remain undefiled. And purity needs to be a central theme in raising a child, that they keep themselves clean until the Lord provide them a helpmeet. So, marriage is honorable. What we need to look at within your marriage, number one, there must be security. There must be security. Look over in Genesis in chapter 2. So marriage is honorable. We've established that fact. We've talked about purity. And now let's look at within the marriage unit in itself as we are to honor it. So within the marriage, beloved, there needs to be security. Now, I believe in myself that security can also be assisted inside the marriage by having a pure life prior to marriage. I'm not going to go too far deep into that today. I don't need minds running where they don't belong. But a person needs to keep themselves pure. Genesis in chapter 2. Let's make sure I'm in the right place. I'm sorry. Genesis in chapter 3. We may be in Genesis in chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. The Bible says there, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they shall be one flesh. Beloved, one hedge that I have set in our marriage is to avoid the appearance, and you will avoid the action. Now understand what I'm saying by that. Avoid the appearance and you will avoid the action. There is a departure from an old life unto the new marriage. Much like we became a new creature in Christ when we got saved. If as a man you think you should be able to freely go and do everything that you want to do with the boys as you once did before, you're sadly mistaken and you're greatly wrong. That's not fair to your bride. You see, and it's the same for the wife. If the ladies think today that they can get married and they can just go run around with the girls as they always did before and do this and that, everything they wanted to do, and have no accountability to their home or to their family, whether it be children and their husband and their or the husband and the wife, they're wrong. The marriage in itself is a sacrifice and a separation from the single life unto a life that now is new and is improved. The marriage life is one that glorifies the Lord, and it brings peace to the heart of a blessed couple. So don't let anyone fool you. Don't let anyone fool you. Everybody wants to be with someone. Everyone wants companionship. We see today and we hear people, I'm never going to get married. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have to answer to this. Don't want to have a ball and chain. And you hear all those things all the time. And men joke about it. And ladies joke about it. But the reality is this. Everybody in this life, somewhere along the line, they want some type of companionship. That's why we find that so many young girls who did not receive the love from their father growing up end up becoming promiscuous in their life, and they go out into the community and they forsake their roots and they forsake their biblical teaching and they give themselves away and make a mess of their life, beloved. Don't let people fool you into thinking that they don't want to have companionship or someone there. So understand first, inside your marriage today, there must be security in your home. I say that, and I want you to understand this point. You know, guys, your husband or your wife, your spouse needs to know that you are going to be there for them, that you're not going to be someone who's just going to pick up and leave when times get rough, when times get hard. They need to know that your eyes and your heart are for no one else, just like serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving honor to the marriage is avoiding the trap to the tricks that may form a wedge, cast any doubt inside the home. Remember, great canyons in this country started out just with one crack. Now, you guys have heard me preach on and against Facebook and other social networking ideas like that. I understand they can be a wonderful tool in keeping in touch with family and friends and so on and so on. I understand that. But you need to be very careful, especially if you're an older person. Especially maybe if you're someone who has already fell in prey to a divorce, or maybe you lived a life, you got saved at a later age and you lived a life outside the biblical principles. The last thing that you need on a Facebook page is an old flame popping up, asking to be your friend and this and that. And even though you and your wife are new creatures today and your marriage is solid as a rock, the last thing you need is that thing popping up and placing some form of doubt inside your wife's heart or your husband's heart, and thus a wedge starting inside that marriage. Because again, the greatest canyons in all of this planet only started out with a small crack. So, there needs to be security in a marriage. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. There's not only is there need to be security in a marriage, but friend, there needs to be safety in a marriage. We need to have safety in your marriage. The Bible says in Matthew and chapter 6, now watch this. We kind of touched on this just a little bit and about the cracks and the canyons, but Matthew chapter 6 verse 22, I'll tell you what, back up to verse 21, says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart may be also." We understand that's a heavenly verse. And verse 22 says, "And the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Again, I want you to understand this tonight or today, that that the blueprint of the church, our service and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is the very same blueprint for our marriage today. So when the Lord uses an illustration that that the light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, not dual, not double, not second, not one eye looking some over here and the other eye looking over there, that our whole body will be full of light. Therefore, if we're trying to serve two masters, as the Bible says in verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and you can't serve the flesh at the same time. To say all that, beloved, if we have, as we should have, eyes for Jesus Christ only, we should have eyes for our spouse only in our marriage. That's honoring the marriage position of the marriage unit. The wife or the husband should not have to wonder about wondering eyes from the other person. Jeremiah said, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart." As husbands and wives, each one should feel safe inside the marriage unit as a whole. There should not be any suspicious thoughts running through either one's mind. And there must be trust in the marriage. And without trust, there is no safety. There is no security. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14 says, "Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and thy wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, the wife of thy covenant." So, beloved, we need not deal treacherously with our spouse. We need to treat them, number one, the way we want to be treated. Number two, we want to understand there should be safety inside that marriage. There should be comfort inside that marriage. There should be security there. And beloved, we also find that there should be, lastly, stability in the marriage. Turn in Proverbs in chapter 5. Proverbs in chapter 5. There should be safety. There should be security. And beloved, there should be stability inside the marriage. We have quite a bit of reading here. 6 verses, I believe. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Drink waters out of thine own cisterns, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind in a pleasant road. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love." It's singular now. Verse 20. "And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings." Everyone has ups and downs in their life, and in the marriage unit, our life is going to do the same. It is, by all accounts, going to have its good days. It's all accounts going to have its great days. Beloved, your marriage is going to have its slow days. Your marriage is going to have its terrible days. What we must always be, what must always be in the foresight of our heart and our mind, is that tomorrow will come, and the next day, Lord willing, the sun shall rise again. And with all that said, there is a time in the future where the circumstances of this day will be gone. Therefore, never let the moment dictate the error. Never let the situation at hand dictate the circumstances that you put yourself into. You need to keep moving forward and focus upon the wife of thy youth. Providing stability in the is performing your part in the marriage. For the marriage, beloved, is not each one pulling 50%. This is how it's been taught in secular sociology and secular teachings for the marriage, is that this person pulls 50%, this person pulls 50%, and therefore you have 100%. And that's not how the marriage unit is established. The marriage union is established by each one pulling 100% of their part. So marriage is just like the church in more than just blueprints, in more than just design, in action. Marriage as the local church is what you put into it. Most people have problems in the church or become unhappy in the church because they are not putting anything into the church. And the same thing is associative with the marriage. A person will get out of that marriage what they put into that marriage. You know, you couldn't go down to the bank today and say, "Hey, I want $100 in there," if you haven't put $100 in it. It's not going to happen. So a careless young fellow once came to announce his intentions of getting a divorce. "It's no use, Doc," he said. I loved her all right for 2 years, 2 years ago when I married her, but it seems I have dried up. I just can't go on living a lie. So I'll have to get a divorce." "But don't you think you owe her something?" "Well, yes, I guess I do. What can I do about it?" "Well, let me make a suggestion," the doctor said. He said, "Since you feel like you do owe her something, don't think about a divorce for 1 month. During that time, do something nice for your wife every day. Buy her a bouquet, a box of chocolates, or a new dress. Take her out places that she likes. Do the dishes for her and things like that." "But Doc, she'll think I'm crazy." "Maybe," he says. "But try it." "All right, you're the doc, that's what I'll do." So a month later, a sheepish young man, rubbing his collar in embarrassment, walks into the office and says, "I don't quite know how to say this," he said, "but I've fallen in love with my wife all over again. Again, Beloved, the reality is this. The key to a successful marriage is having a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with with each other growing closer together as you grow closer together to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what a successful marriage takes. So inside that marriage, and how you can today, as heard this 4-week series, in honoring the marriage unit is by upholding each one's position. The man is the position of sacrifice. The woman is the position of submission. But that marriage is going to be successful by the third entity of the threefold design, and that is the position of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ must be within the marriage, and each one of you must grow closer together toward one another as you grow closer together toward Him.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com. Or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 37072.
Let's bow our heads.